you've got this bill in front of you right now that would drug test welfare recipients.
Yes, it would. And John, this one is called, the program is called Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, TANF. And what it's designed to do is to really help people get back on their feet. And the goal is that we would want to make sure that we're feeding families and children and that we're not treating drug habits. And then secondly, not feeding drug habits, let's make that correct. Feeding kids, not feeding drug habits.
Right.
And the second side of the coin is that if someone does test positive, we want to get them help to get back on their feet because they're not going to get a job or be able to support their family while they're having a substance abuse problem.
So if someone under your bill tests positive for drugs, what happens? If they're on, is it drug testing to get on welfare or drug testing if you're on welfare?
Okay,
or both.
The first thing, the caseworker, who I believe is the professional that is working with this family, it's going to be up to the care worker or the caseworker or the professional, and she or he would actually, when they do the first assessment with the family, make the determination whether they feel that they need to call for a drug test. And there's many different signs, but if they ask for a drug test, and that recipient refuses to take the drug test, then they'll be placed on what's called sanctioned status. Now, if they fail the drug test, they may be required to participate in treatment. And there is treatment available, and I've aligned that with what's already in place, what the state is already doing. I didn't want to create another level of bureaucracy here. So it would kick in to where then they could get treatment and try to get them back on their feet. Now, if they refuse the treatment and they can't show a clean urine test or hair strand test, whichever the state decides to do in this case, then they're terminated from the program.
Now, would you need to pass a drug test to receive welfare in the first place?
That's a determination from the professional caseworker.
Why not just say, if you want welfare in Washington, you've got to pass a drug test so we know that you're not going to take the money that you're given by taxpayers and spend it on drugs?
Well, John, I agree with that, and I tried to do that last session. But what ended up happening, there was a lawsuit in Florida, but still it was tied to employment issues.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I studied what all the other states were doing, and I tried to get an idea of a model that would work for the state of Washington. And I pretty much modeled my bill after Utah's TANF drug testing. It seems reasonable. Professionals are making those decisions. And this bill in Utah passed in March of 2012, and I'm kind of watching to see what they're doing, how does it work. And I wanted to make sure that the state of Washington didn't have liability in the way we asked for the drug test.
Right, right. Okay, now, who's opposing you?
Well, I haven't heard of anybody that's opposing me yet. And I'll tell you what, we've gotten a lot of comments throughout the state on they feel this should be done. And I'll tell you, we were over Wenatchee.
Can you get a hearing?
Well, that's going to be interesting because, ironically enough, that today the chair has called a work study on drug testing for TANF. But I don't have a hearing for my bill yet. So while you and I are talking, I had my assistant run down there, and I want to hear. Evidently, the chair feels that this is important enough that we need a work study, but I wonder why I'm not getting a hearing.
Well, I know why. It's because they don't want you to have a feather in your cap when you run for that special election for the state Senate seat.
That could well be the case.
Republican senator would ruin their day.
That could well be the case. And the sad thing on something like that is we're putting politics in front of people again.
Well, of course, it's Olympia. I mean, you know, but I mean, here's my philosophy on this. Let's say there's somebody close to you, somebody you love. Let's say it's your nephew. And your nephew is going through a rough patch in life. And he says, you know, can you help me out? I have no job. You know, got laid off. There's no jobs in this economy. Things are really terrible. And you say, well, you know what? Sure. I'll give you a little bit of cash. Plus, I'll buy your groceries. Plus, you can stay downstairs in the spare bedroom. And then you find out that your nephew, your 24-year-old nephew, is using drugs and hanging out at the track and is not looking for work and is shoplifting. I mean, how long would you let him stay under your roof if he was doing any one of those things?
And John, that's a great scenario, because I just talked to a young woman when I was doorbelling this last summer, and honestly, at the door, there isn't anyone that doesn't know someone or doesn't have a family member that's gone through the drug issues. It's a huge epidemic. Yeah. But this one young woman shared with me that she loved her husband desperately, okay? But husband, through a work accident, got hooked on drugs under a doctor's care, okay? But then when the doctor tried to help the individual off of it, he didn't want to get off. This was kind of nice. And that's why they call it addiction. Couldn't get a job, wasn't working, and this mother had to say to the man she loved, I'm going to ask you to leave because you're putting myself and our children in jeopardy.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, if you wouldn't give money or provide a place or buy groceries for someone you love, someone in your family, if they were behaving irresponsibly with your money, then why on earth are we doing it for strangers?
Well, and that's the point here. These are taxpayer dollars. And we know we've got a huge problem here. And this bill actually helps that mother who had to ask the husband to leave. It helps that mother who can't pay all of this by herself and feed her family.
I'll tell you something.
But it also would help the husband if he would choose to go into a drug rehab program.
You know what this is? This is an issue that I call a 75%er, a Representative Angel. And here's what I mean by that. If this bill was on the ballot as an initiative, it would pass with 75% of the vote.
It would pass in a heartbeat.
It would get more than 90% of Republican votes. It would get probably 75-80% of the Democrats' vote or of the independents' votes. And it would probably get 2/3 of the Democrats' votes. This is one of those ideas that separates the liberal wing of the Democratic Party from everybody else, starting with moderate Democrats, independents, all the way through to the conservative wing of the Republican Party. And in other words, about 75-80% of the state. So and that's why the opposition to it, I bet if it does get a hearing, they'll probably try and quietly quash it because they don't want something like this to be publicized. That is why there would be such fervent opposition to it. So I really wish you the best. The best thing to do, of course, is to get a companion bill filed in the state Senate and have hearings and have the bill pass there to give it some momentum. Do you know if that's happening?
Yes, I actually had one of the senators say to me, they asked me if they could run this bill because they felt it was a really good bill. So I think that's in process right now if it hasn't already happened.
All right. If people want more information, Jan, how do they get it?
This bill is HB 1190, and it's a bill to help people with a hand up and not put anyone down. So I think it's I think it's a great bill. And
here's a short circuit way of putting it, streamlined way of putting it. Stop using taxpayer dollars to subsidize drug abuse.
Absolutely. Spot on. There you go.
So if people want to contact you, what's the email or contact info?
Okay, my address is jan.angel, A-N-G-E-L, at ledge.wa.gov.
Okay, so again, it's...
And I'll tell you what.
Jan.angel at ledge.wa.gov.
Correct.
All right.
And I'll tell you what, I'm going to forward taxpayers' opinions onto the chair of the committee, so let me know how you feel about it.
Not a bad idea. All right. Jan, it's great having you on the show. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you. Thanks for putting a real important topic out there. This could help a lot of people in a lot of ways.
And we will follow the bill in the Senate as it appears and emerges there, especially the debate. Because understand, if the chairman of a committee doesn't want to hear the bill, if they don't want it to pass, they won't give it a hearing. Or if they have to give it a hearing, they won't give it a vote. And so in Frank Chop, of course, is a guy who made his living in the social services area, is head of the Fremont Public Association. I'm not surprised that they would be reluctant to even give this idea a hearing in the House. But the Senate's a different story now. You have a Republican or a conservative, anyway, fiscally conservative coalition there, probably be very open to this idea. So that you can bet that the chair over there will give it a hearing, will give it consideration. And you know what? I'd love to see something like this talked about. I think this is one of those issues that matters a whole lot to people outside Olympia and not very much inside Olympia until you get someone like Jan Angel stepping forward to do something about it. So let's hope something arises as a result of this.